So whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And again, verse 6. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy father, namely of the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth, even unto the other end of the earth, thou shalt not consent unto it. Now verse 12. If thou shalt hear tell, or if thou shalt hear say, in one of thy cities, which the Lord thy God hath given thee to dwell there, saying, certain men, the children of Belial, are gone out from among you, and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which he hath not known. Then thou shalt inquire, and may search, and ask diligently, and behold if it is true. And the thing certain, that such abomination is wrought among you, thou shalt surely smite the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, destroying it utterly, and all that is therein, and the cattle thereof with the edge of the sword. Now verse 1 of chapter 14, verse 5. Ye are the children of the Lord your God. Verse 3. Thou shalt not eat any abominable thing. And then verse 11, of all clean birds he shall eat. And now verse 22, thou shalt surely tithe all the increase of thy seed, that the field bringeth forth year by year. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, the place of need. There. The tithe of thy corn, and of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the first things of thy herds, and of thy flock, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. And we do trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his holy word. Now last night we were mentioning the very simple and yet very precious link that exists between these two rather difficult chapters. We were looking at chapter 12 and observing very simply that the chapter was a sixfold reference to the place that the Lord would choose, and to put his name there. That chapter presents the truth concerning the place of the name. Then chapter 13 suggests to my mind a threefold temptation that would challenge the place of the name. And we're going to look at that challenge tonight in God's will. Then in chapter 14 we would return to a more positive approach and look at the testimony that characterizes the place of the name. So now, we looked at this last night, and rather than employ time to review it all, we thought we should now make a further start on the subject. Now in chapter 12 we were observing that it was the place of sovereign choice. And that opened to us the ministry of the Lord Jesus himself in Matthew 18. And that section we looked at for a short while toward the close of the text. Now this idea, dear saints of God, of the place being the place of sovereign choice really meant that it was not the place that these people would choose according to their own imagination, number one. And then it was not a place that was formed or erected or chosen because it was made or created or formed out of imitation of anything else. That was forbidden in the chapter. Then we saw that it wasn't a place chosen according to one's own inclination. And we read the verse further down, where God told them distinctly, they were not to go after that which seemed right in their own eyes. That was verse 8 of chapter 12. And then, of course, we would see that it wasn't a place that would be categorized or chosen because of previous ideas. Now, these are all very simple things. Because it is amazing how much we as humans carry with us and bring into the assembly things that are really foreign to it. They suit our ideas. They are likely born out of our imagination. It is very likely they're the product of our inclination. But when we look at the Word of God, and when we examine the testimony of God concerning the truth of the assembly, we don't see these things present. And we are able, you know, we are very gifted at this, we are able to amass such evidence that would make it appear right and reliable. And all the time, it is foreign to the mind of God. So as I would move through the New Testament, and starting with the book of the Acts, and looking right through the epistles that deal so much with the local assembly and its associated church, I can see clearly that it is certainly a place that is of sovereign choice. Now, we must move on. I observe in verse 6, if you look at verse 6 of chapter 12, that it is the place of sanctified consecration. Now, I better repeat that. It is the place of sanctified consecration. We have learned already in the night that has passed, it is the place of sovereign choice. Now we move on. And in verse 6, it is the place that is to receive the highest offering that these people could bring. They couldn't bring anything greater than their burnt offering. Their burnt offering according to Leviticus 1, and because of its place in that chapter and in that book, it was, and it is in this day, the highest, the greatest, the fullest that they could at all present to God. Now, they were to bring it to this place, and they were to bring their burnt offering to the place of the need. Now, the next thing they were to bring was their sacrifices. As a general word. And usually when that word is used in this way, it includes many sacrifices, but it actually speaks specifically of peace offering sacrifice. And thus you have the idea of fellowship. And then we come to the next expression, and we will see, and your tithe. Your tithe. These are the exercises of the people of God. They're going to give God his portion. They're going to enjoy fellowship And now they're going to contribute part of their material wealth, and they're to bring it to the place of the name. And there they're to give their time. Now that would be enough for tonight, you know. If we were to think on those three things, and I'll only have time to select those three, my dear saint of God, when it comes to our worship, when it comes to our presentation of the things that relate to the person of our Lord Jesus, it's a very precious thing to do that in your home. Bow the knee. Sit there on your chair. Or whatever. And the heart go out in thanksgiving to God for His Son. It's a blessed experience. But you know, that's not what's here. This was, as we will see in another passage, this was a corporate thing. And this was Israel bringing their burnt offerings to God. And they were to bring them to the place the Lord would choose out of all your tribes to put His name there. And you know, beloved, when I think of what the assembly is in the New Testament, I see it as the sphere of my worship. I see it as the place where I'm gathered, as we saw last night. Each of us responding to the work of the Spirit of God and to the Word of God itself. And you and me bringing our own personal, spiritual impression of Christ. And together, as we come to the place of the name, we give expression. The brethren rise in thanksgiving. They rise in worship. And you know, we're bringing far, far more. My brethren, we're bringing something infinitely greater than all these burnt offerings ever could achieve. They're actually bringing to God the pattern of His Son. When those people brought the bullet, or when they brought their lamb, they had an animal, something physical. But brethren, in the New Testament assembly that exercises the right and the privilege of the priesthood of all believers, my dear saint of God, there is a wealth going up to God the like of which nothing could ever imitate. No, I believe that. You mean to say there's nobody out there worship God? Well, I'm going to tell you something. I firmly believe that there were people in Babylon down there worship God. Israel were away down there for 70 long years. They did, you know. But, while that is true, there never was a priest functioned in that. That's why you get the picture in Zechariah 3 of that high priest clad in filthy garments. That's why those younger people, I can see the young people in Zechariah just the same as I can see the young people in the food, and young people in Belfast, and young people in Malaysia. They'll say now, do we really have it? And those young priests, I can see them say, do we really have a priesthood? Look at the mess. Look at the awful years in Babylon. How are the dogs in Zechariah? Have a look. What do you see? I see the high priest clan in 21. What did God take them off? What are the filthy garments? The assignment of 70 years in Babylon. Were never once a priest of God. But Daniel, friend.
Function of
you. Now, well, who's the priest of that? You get their names when they come up. But I'm going to tell you something. They never function as priests. You know that, don't you? Why? There was no temple there in this function. Those young men never saw a priest function in their life. But man, when they came up, hey, when they were called upon God by God to come out, they got the foundation going, and eventually got the structure moving.
Hey, my word, there was a great thing going on. By and by, they saw me functioning in the house, but they never saw a thing. I believe that the Assembly of God is the only place where you'll get true peace.
You mean to tell me those people that, I'm not telling you what those people think about. I'm not out for them, I'm talking about you. You see, a lot of people say, now what about those people? Now listen, friend, say to God. If all you tell me about those people is true, I'll be there. I'll be there. Wouldn't be here. I believe, brethren, that God has given us a position. And the sphere of the place of the name is the place where my spiritual exercise is used for height. Now, condition one thing, I'm talking about the privilege God extends to the attendees. That's what it is. I believe, brethren, listen, if we were more convicted on this issue and spoke more plainly about it and reminded saints in the bondage of Christendom of the liberty God given that we enjoy in this assembly, I tell you, it would make a great difference in these men. But we sort of people, they're just as good as we are, and we're just maybe as good as they, one way or another, and therefore we're just there's no need to be great difference. There's the trouble. Now, brethren, listen, the house where I'm living, right now, I spied a book. I recalled the author. I remember the author shortly after he wrote that book. He put a little statement in the Pleasure Sea Magazine. And he said, if assembly believers had only told him years and years before what it meant to enjoy the liberty of the Spirit in the priesthood of all believers, he'd have gathered to the Lord's name years before he did. But they never talked about it. He was a prejudice. He was a crook. He had the collar. He had everything. And he undertook to write a book about R.C. Chapman. And as he did his research, the truth of God began to dawn on the man's soul. And before the book was printed, he had taken off the collar and put on one like mine and said goodbye to the man and said goodbye to the church and said goodbye to all that and gathered to a small little assembly and cross runner to the name of the Lord Jesus. And looking back, let me repeat, he said if saints had only told him the liberty that they enjoy in the assembly, he would have been there long ago. But he never knew it was the same. He never knew what it was like. He would get fooled. What am I saying? I'm saying this, brethren, that every conceivable impression that I have of Christ in my soul should be brought to this assembly and expressed to God for the glory of God and for the good of His people in priestly exercise. That's the type, and this is the type. That's what you bring your burden of life. And you don't offer it under that hill or under that tree or somewhere else. God says you bring it to the place of the name. And you teach the altar of God, and the fire of God will lift it up as a sacrifice to His name. And you know, when you bring burnt offerings and these offerings here, you know what has happened. You know what happens to you. You feed other people as well as feeding the heart of God. And that's a great subject, but I must get on. And so I see it is a place of sanctified consecration. That you, in your sanctified experience of Christ, come to this assembly, profound divine impressions radiating in your soul. And I come too. And what is the assembly? The assembly is a concentration of sanctified experience in Christ. Concentration.
Concentration.
Yes. When reading the book, they've been dwelling on Christ. God has channeled impressions of His Son into their heart. And they bring that to the assembly. That's why they say, the sisters, the women, pardon me. I get the real sometimes, you'll have to forgive me. Whenever it comes to the head covering, it's never a sister. When it comes to the speaking, it's never a sister. When it comes to the praying, it's never a sister. No, brother, it's not. The three times those things are dealt with is a woman. Let the root of it say, yes. But not. What do you mean? I mean, listen. That God is out to establish the dignity of spiritual leadership. By your long hair, by your covered head, by your silence, and by your subjection, you're expressing spiritual womanhood. See that? So that was the mind of God away back yonder when He created us. And you, and me. And He wanted that dignity to be maintained whatever the cost. And it's not until we come to the assembly that that is possible. So it's let your woman, and your woman, and your woman. The sister is seen in relationship, but the woman is seen in her dignity. And in her position. If a woman would come to this platform and sing a most beautiful soul, she is damaging the dignity of a womanhood. Her song may be good. Her voice might even be nicer. But she's damaging her dignity as a woman. Now have we got that? And we haven't got that. It's time we had it! And thus, those sisters in the meeting tonight that work at these things bring that power of sanctified subjection and consecration to God, and they bring it to the assembly and there they sit. I tell you what's happening. They're just doing the feast. They're bringing it to the place of the name, and they're offering up in that wonderful subjective form the expressions of Christ. And then the devil comes. And they move in the same path of subjection to divine truth, not as brethren now, but as men. As men. And having that subjection to the Word of God, and accepting the authority that God gives them, they are bringing their impressions of Christ to the place of the name, and there's a concentration in that little assembly of sanctified. Now, brother, what about your time? Oh, I know that you have many outlets for your giving. But you know, if all the saints of God in assembly fellowship did with their giving what they would do with their grace, what a tremendous power of ability, I mean materialism, would be in the assembly.
Of course, that would bring their tithes to the house of God.
That's 1 Corinthians 16, isn't it? I'm not saying you can't exercise a personal exercise in relation to a person, or a person in me, or the Levite within my gates, as it is in this very chapter. But if that personal exercise is contributing to something that is not in keeping with the testimony of the assembly, then you're not doing the truth of God. When I'm giving, I want to give in relation to that which will sustain, which will support, and which will strengthen in any country, in any area, in any region, that for which God would enable me.
Don't you see, my dear?
And so when I bring my wealth of grace and my wealth of giving to the place of the name, what a concentration on material wealth is he. Now, brethren, can you see the point? If we start supporting something that's not in keeping with the truth of God, what a difficulty. We're running into it. And there's sufficient need in connection with the assemblies of God and those that maintain that truth worldwide. There's enough need to call forth every ounce of material gifts and giving you possess and that I possess. And so it is a place of sanctifying consecration. Be it spiritual, be it sacrificial, be it material. You know, beloved, I would like to think that all that I ask and all that I have and all that God would make and all that in His grace He would provide for me find their concentration in the earth. I have now been in the assembly fellowship for 42 years. 25 of those years have been spent in full-time service for the Lord. 17 of those years, as far as my mind can go back, were spent in the local assembly yonder in Belfast. And I never once found myself in anything that was contradictory through the assembly of God. And I want to appeal to young people. You know, I used to have an old bicycle. And I remember a time, I remember when I was young in Christ, and I'm not going to complain, that's not the place to complain. But you'll be in the same place, some of you. And there wasn't very much, and there wasn't very many ways of getting much more. I remember riding that old bicycle that my father bought me when I was in the teens. I said, Lord, help me to sanctify this little bicycle to the glory of God. And out in the village for a while. Used to put it in the train and go away about 70 miles on in the train and get up and out on a Sunday morning and ride away down to the beyond the border to reach a little assembly with four people. Used to thank God for that little bicycle I had. You know, beloved, if we don't get down to these things when we're young, God has blessed you with more than a bicycle, you know. I thought to use that for the assembly. For God. Oh, yes, I could have been associated with many of them. Somehow or another, in God's good grace, He guided us and directed us. And I feel I want to speak to my young brethren in Christ tonight and young sisters. I want you to see that this assembly demands and deserves, and I'm quite sure my brethren desire that everything you have and the concentration in the assembly. All my energy. All my exercise. Lord, have I a desire in my heart? Let that desire be expressed and released unto the place of the next. You know, I knew that in light of God's directions and God's clear principles, I tell you, there is no problem at all in my soul. Now we have to rush through Luke chapter 16 for a moment. I'm going to go a wee bit longer tonight because we'll have to back for a long time. Chapter 16 and the verse number 2. Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord thy God of the flock and the herd and the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there. My, that's great, isn't it? Verse 6, you get it again. And in very many other places, verse 7 and other portions. Now you see, I told you to read this book and find out how many times you get this, the place, the choice, and the name. And here we're doing some work for you, you know. But here in this chapter, it is the place of set celebration. Set celebration. Here is a chapter that presents the feast of the Lord. Look at verse 7:16. Three times in a year shall all thy meals appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose. In the place which he shall choose. You see, this place ought to be the place of set celebration. Passover, unleavened bread, first fruit, feast of weeks, feast of trumpets, day of atonement, feast of tabernacle, these great feasts were to be celebrated in the place of the name. It was the place of sovereign choice. It was the place, as we saw just now, of sanctified consecration. But now in this chapter, it is the place of set celebration. In other words, when it comes to the exercise that marks the assembly in the remembrance of the Lord Jesus, of which these feasts are but a faint picture one way or another, the place where I remember the Lord Jesus is the place of the name. Now 1 Corinthians 11 makes that abundantly clear. Not an individual thing. It's a corporate exercise. And although there are many things we would love to say about that, remember this, young Christian. The breaking of bread, the remembrance of the Lord Jesus, is that which is done corporately in relation to the assembly and the assembly alone. You know, there are many people today, and they advance. Well, now, if two or three of us were going across the ocean in a boat. And there we were. We'd be 5 weeks on the sea. Well, they were saying now on a Sunday, well, we'll just gather in some cabin and we'll remember the war.
Well, that's very accommodating.
And that kind of thing has led many saints that,
well, you know what happened. And I'm not going to go over them all tonight because I believe they're well known. Now the point is that here is the assembly, and the blessed God has deposited the truth and the privilege of remembering the Lord Jesus into the custody of the assembly. Remember that. That's the point of 1 Corinthians 11. If any other passage means anything, this is what this passage means. I'll ask someone, let's go back to the institution of the supper. Well, now do that if you will. And we value those Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that deal with the institutional side of the supper. We value that. We see its relationship. We see its truth. But that is not where we fix the doctrine. I hope you understand that. Number one, there were no sisters in the upper room. So many people would say, now I believe this. Well, so do I believe certain things too, you know. Yeah. And once they try to wiggle out of my ministry now on 1 Corinthians 11 by taking me to the institution, you see. I said, now wait, do you follow that? Oh yes. Well then why do you have to say that? No, but our guide, 1 Corinthians 11. It embraces everything that is necessary for this week. And the assembly is that which is given the custody of the supper. Now that's clear from Acts chapter 2. They continue steadfastly in the hostile, pure doctrine. Not the doctrine pure, the word apostle is. It wasn't one apostle years ago. The word had the apostrophe after the S in the Irish Memorial there. Yeah. Now, you have noticed it too, haven't you? Good. Well now, it's plural, but it's a singular doctrine. What? Fellowship! Breaking of bread! And prayer! And not until you get the assembly in S2 can you get the breaking of bread. Never was an occasion before that, apart from the institution, until you come to that. And there's the doctrine for you in 1 Corinthians 11. Now what does that mean? That means, my dear brethren, that all that I know now, and all that God would teach me concerning the remembrance of His stuff, is really through the assembly of God. I'm trying to lift up the truth of this in such a way as to make it appeal to your soul as being the most attractive thing God has ever created in His day, in our day, and in any other day. Well, I know it's nice to look at the tabernacle and it's beautiful. And I know it's even good to look at the temple and it was even more beautiful. But you will have to agree with me, brother, that was only material. Away. Here is something in the truth tonight that far outshines the glory of tabernacle and temple. Men and women saved by divine grace, subject to divine wisdom. And among you, through the failure to recognize the significance of all that the assembly means, Collins went to the court to settle matters upon them. Here God is showing that He will have men of capacity, and it's not
to be, it is rather, to be expected that in the assembly, where there is sound, scriptural, spiritual judgment, it is the place of spiritual counsel. And God has given men capacity for them to be able to decide matters that arise. And I would open up a list of, I believe in the government of the assembly. And I believe in those that should exercise the responsibility of the assembly. And I believe if we have men moving according to the truth of God, we will have spiritual counsel. And it is the place where spiritual counsel is expected. And it's the place where spiritual counsel should be given. And it's the place where spiritual counsel should be obeyed. Chapter 13. The tragedy is this, brethren, that as soon as God establishes a point, I'm just telling my dear brother, Mr. Bill, tonight, what I'm going to tell you now. If I were to continue for another week, we would just do as we've been doing. We'd be going into these areas, the place of the name, the place of the name, and we'd be seeing the very important things that God tells us about it. Soul confession. Oh, there are many more. Many more. And as we would establish the truth of the place and the truth of the gathering to the place and in the place of the name, why, what will you see? Just what we see now in this chapter. The devil will contest it, and the devil will contend it, and the devil will seek to move from the thing and from the first what to do. To disturb the whole time. Now, I'm going to give you an illustration. You can verify this. I have memorized it in my soul, like the wise these good ladies here, memorized the recipe, for the cheesecake and the date cake, My wife comes along, that's a lovely cake. What's the recipe? A pinch of this, and a pint of that, and it's something else. And I can just wrap it off. I look at them and say, well now, I would seriously say, you just would rattle off the scripture the same way, because it's the same kind of thing. Young man, you get it in now. Same thing. You see the way that mother and wife of yours can rattle off the recipe? Why? Because it's in her. The word of God says, my Bible should be in you. Right. Exodus 25:1. And the Lord said unto Moses, saying, how many times do you believe that? Right? We're at the tabernacle now. And you read from chapter 25, verse 1 to the end of chapter 31, will you? Well, you find 7 times the Lord said unto me. 7 times. If you look a little closer, you'll find that the 7th communication introduces a Sabbath. A Sabbath. So what have you? 6. What did it say? The comes by all of the tabernacle. It's reaches and it's right. And then the 7th communication. What did you get that idea before? You got that idea again? 6 then, 6 communications, 6 treatments about creation, and then that creation. Now, as soon as the Sabbath was reached, the mind of God is fresh. Everything looking good, what happened? And in the devil. Everything God has done. What happens now? Are you with me? 6 communications, a Sabbath. Exodus 31, you know what is that? What's Exodus 32 then? The devil is coming. And the
Aaron's making a golden calf.
The first word that God spoke concerning the tabernacle was the word gold. Gold. Before that, for me, my paper, Exodus 32, the devil said, that for me, and my calf. And he put his hand on gold that was intended for the sanctuary, and he made a calf. That gold from the realm, the spoils of redemption, and from the ring and the root that was put in to make the calf, was gold that was intended for God, by God, for the sanctuary. The devil got it. Why is it that many of God's people are building golden calves out there tonight? Things that God's going to destroy with him. That was right. Now, here he is again. Just as we have got this place well in our mind. God anticipates in his wonderful wisdom the activity of the devil. If you're alive, you know what I mean by that now? I told you last night that this book speaks about a prophet. Now listen to how God through Moses, a prophet, shall the Lord your God raise up. God will do it. What he is, if a prophet arrives, he did it. Heaven in your midst. From among you, men.
Little man, what will you do? Draw with you from the truth. I see you from among you. Oh, brethren, how precious. How does someone pack the Old Testament around?
Why? Pergamum? A little sin? Valhalla? Then? That old? The doctor? I give him that.
In that Pergamon assembly, there was a prophet alive. And there were those that held his feet.
Balaam, we have not. We have not.
So here's the power. That in the true assembly, in any assembly, there is a great possibility that the devil could use me. Or the devil, brother, let me look at you now, spit in the face before God, and you look at me, and God will bless the both of us. Could use you.
How do you do?
Clean the vine of Father. And clean the vine of the future. Just put it over and you'll just be managed right. Now listen. If I had just a week or two ago, I would be in it every night, you know. And I would come to Second Timothy. And I would tell you, God, listen, young man, young older friend, I want to look at your face now. And I want to tell you something from my heart. God has not given us the spirit of bondage again under fear. Glory to God. What has he given? He has given us power. Power to what? Power to what? Man, I don't know who you are. The names I don't know. Your faces I remember. But listen, brother. God gives you the power to withstand a man of this caliber. I put it down clear. I don't care who that man is. God gives you the power to withstand. Now the next bit, I'll have to finish. Verse 6. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is of thine own soul, entice thee secretly. Oh, this is even more stuff. Wife lying in bed saying, you know, I don't think that the sure assembly is just, you know, and I like this other place, and I like this, and, you know, I love my wife, and, hey, the wife of thy bosom. Couldn't get closer, could you? Well, the son comes in and he says, Father, now you know we have, no, yes, and I love my son. Talk to somebody. You're still in the Old Testament, old fella. Why may not give us something in you? No problem. I'm embarrassed.
If your father abides living by you, and you want to verify my teaching, you will read it. And the Lord Jesus, if I use the divine body, thy wife, I authorized
her to have you. I will tell you, I know my wife. Yes, you.
And let me say, there is a sin of God. And of my wife, I don't believe she ever will. And I'd like to think that even if that dear wife that I love so much walked the entire street secret, I thought that God would give me the love. She has given it. Power.
Love to withhold my affection from that path!
That the wife of my bosom would entice me. Honestly, the devil could use that very wife and bosom. The verse number 12. If thou shalt hear tell concerning one of thy cities, and something has gone wrong in that city, in which men of unfaithfulness have arisen, and you've made inquiry, there is where they're from you now. There is out there. And you've heard from that city that certain men have arisen to do this and to do that, you go and you make inquiry, and you discover the truth. To God, you smite the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword. Has it ever happened? I believe, beloved, there are companies that have moved away from the path of obedience to the will of God, and have linked themselves with the Christendom by one thing and another, and having made church, having inquired, and having established the thing was true, I believe that the responsibility of my soul and my movement and my ministry to recognize judgment relevant to that day. God has given me a sound mind